It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life with your host, Alan Gervie. Alan is the managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm which has represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Hi, I am Alan Gervie. I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie & Wynn, and this is Gervie's Law. Welcome back. We've been on the air since our hiatus for about 3 weeks or 4 weeks now. And I've introduced before Michelle Lobato, my co-host.
Your protege, the light of your life, since I've now been introduced to the radio show, who, by the way, I will mention, was here earlier than you.
You were, and I was testing you. So I learned something about the younger generation. What you need to do is lie to them. You need to tell them.
It's called gaslighting.
I don't care what it's called. You need to tell them to be at a place at a time that's 10 minutes earlier than they need to be here. And that's what I did to Michelle today, because last time she came about a half an hour, 40 minutes late, managed to make it in time for the show. But this time she was here early. I love it. I do that to my kids. I never tell them what time their games are or when they have to be there. I always tell them 15 minutes earlier, because if I tell them the time they have to be there, they won't be there.
You know, discipline is something that I'm learning every single day.
Let me ask you something, Michelle, because you do represent the younger generation in cross-examining the ages on Gervie's Law. You talk about discipline. What kind of financial literacy or financial discipline do you have?
You know, all of the sound bites on TikTok are something that goes like this. Money comes and goes. You're only young, hot, and in your 20s once. So that's kind of the message that's being put out there. Also, Social Security is going to fall in a couple years. The world's going to end one way or another. So, you know, saving up for retirement is not really a high priority in my generation.
Well, I'm going to tell you it should be. And we are going to learn today how it can be, because we have the expert on personal finance and on money matters for the younger generation specifically. We're not talking about me, a guy who's been in the workforce a long time, but we're talking about your generation and younger, middle school, high school, and young adulthood. His name is Jake Cousineau, and he is a financial literacy advocate. He's an educator, a teacher. He's launched personal finance programs at two schools very successfully, and he is a best-selling author. His first book, How to Adult Personal Finance for the Real World, has been a smashing success. In fact, I'm interested in always reading reviews from people, not from someone paid to say something about a book. And I came across a couple of reviews of Jake's book. And don't worry, Jake, we're going to talk to you in a minute. But this one was intriguing. This book is amazing. Bought a second copy within 15 minutes of skimming through it. Who does that? Like, you just look at the book and say, it's amazing, I need another copy. But so many people have been talking about it. Another review, Jake Cousineau's How to Adult is a must-read for young adults looking to master personal finance. With clear, engaging language, it breaks down essential topics like budgeting, investing, taxes, and insurance. This book is relatable, and it has real-world examples that make complex financial concepts easy to understand. I can't read it, but I did read the book. And there's a new book we're going to talk about called Face Your Financial Fears. Jake Cousineau, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hello. Thank you. Very happy to be here. I just want to say on the front end, I'm really enjoying this charming back and forth that you two have. It's a real chemistry.
You know, Jake, you know so much about the younger generation. You've been a teacher for years, even though you're a young guy, because we talked about that before we got on the air. And you really have a familiarity. You know what they're looking for. You know what the new generation is like. And I'm not sure what that means. So how did you come across, you know, the financial aspects. We're always trying to build confidence in children, but financial confidence has never been an objective at schools or for the younger generations. How did you get interested in it?
Yeah, so like so many people in my 20s, I was just dead broke, like negative net worth, probably like negative $30,000. I truly understood nothing. Like I didn't know what interest rates were. I had student loans. I didn't know how those were even calculated. I stopped paying them. Just made every mistake you could possibly make. And so around like 26, 27, I call it my financial renaissance. I just read like every book I could. And I was already teaching at this time. And so after a couple of books, I was like, this is not that hard. Like this is way more doable than I thought. I was afraid for nothing, or at least the problems in my head were way worse than reality. And then being a teacher at the time, I was in a fortunate position. I'm like, I'm gonna address this. Like I'm gonna start a class. So I started a class at my first school. And then sort of once I committed to that, the head of the school was like, yeah, do it, start your class. But then I had to develop the curriculum and sort of get it off the ground. So it became a real chore. But then so, you know, you learn so much through teaching. I always tell this to people, like, if you really want to check your understanding, like whatever you study or whatever you're into, if you really want to prove to yourself, like, I know this, like, explain it, like, teach it, you know, for, you know, an extended period of time. So I started teaching the class, and through the years, you know, the students would come up with sort of the same questions, or they'd get hung up on the same issues and whatever it was. So it gave me a real familiarity. And I realized, you know, these students, they might be 17 years old. And they have these questions because they're so new to this topic. I would speak to 25, 35, 45-year-olds, and they have the same questions. Like,
right.
People just don't learn this. So I think it did give me a very unique perspective into the huge blind spots that so many people have. And I think being a teacher, I've sort of crafted this skill of taking complex, you know, concepts and hopefully breaking them down into either more palatable, engaging, more, you know, approachable problems that people can actually solve.
I love that. And I love that you really are in tune with the psychological and emotional aspect that finances can bring. You know, there's a lot of anxieties, a lot of fears, especially around my age range when everything's changing. You're not really sure what you want to pursue full time for the rest of your life. I mean, even thinking the rest of your life, not even just touching on marriage. So I'm curious, you said it was around 26 to 27 when you had your financial renaissance?
The renaissance, yes.
Epiphany.
What prompted that? Did you start getting ready for marriage? Were you like, okay, a wedding's going to be expensive, a ring?
Wait a second, Michelle. Are you hitting on him right now?
No, he's married.
Oh, that's fine. But
No, I'm considering for myself, you know, have you seen the movie Materialist?
I haven't.
No.
Well, basically it's
is it your
Dakota
generation?
Johnson. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, it has that. Ooh, I'm not good with actors' names. Check out Materialist. It's basically this woman who battles between making a smart financial decision with marrying a wealthy guy or at the end of the movie, the aspiring actor who's not so wealthy asks her, let's make a bad financial decision together and get married for love. And, you know, finances and marriage go hand in hand, right?
100%.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah. I totally understand the question. There's often, unfortunately, people, it would be great if people were just proactive and were like,
right.
You know what? I should understand that the earlier I start, the easier this process is going to be. That's just not how it works. It's typically, there is sort of like, you know, some moments generally. If somebody hits rock bottom or something. For me, it was more so I was just growing frustrated because I was paying my debts. I had credit card bills and I had my student loans, I had my auto loan. And I just felt like, you know, I'm throwing so much money at this, but I'm not seeing the actual principal drop. You know, I'd put $500 towards all my debt, but then my debt would only decrease by $250. And I was like, what is happening? So really that I just felt robbed. It was more like anger. And really the only thing I misunderstood, just didn't understand at all, was interest rates. And so I just started truly with interest rates. How do interest rates work? And it sounds, everybody's familiar with it, but so few people can actually calculate and determine, okay, how much of a difference is a 7% APR versus a 4% APR? And, you know, depending on your purchase, it's a huge difference. So I really started with that. And I've always been sort of a reader and just sort of, you know, like a tenacious learner, I'd say. So once I started going down that path and I was like, oh my God, like I've made every mistake possible. So there wasn't one huge event, but everything you mentioned, like
buying a house, which I bought last year, getting married, which happened last year. Like, those things took a long time. And if I didn't start this renaissance earlier, those events would have been so much more stressful. Like, I can't, or just frankly impossible. Like, I wouldn't have been able to buy my house. Like, not a chance.
Jake, is that the reason you start your first book, How to Adult, with the interest chapter one? And the first thing in the book is, hold on, I borrow $10,000, but have to pay back $15,000. No, this doesn't sound legal.
Correct. Yeah. So I open every chapter with, that's a quote from my student, you know, so I just have all these quotes from students and, you know, I teach it every, I've got my new crop of kids right now and I go through interest rates and it's, people typically think of like a budget. They might think of investing and they think of, even when they think of investing, they have like a misinformed view of, you know, like trading options or like getting rich super quick.
Right.
But nobody really thinks of interest, but interest is the foundation, whether you are trying to get out of debt or whether you are building wealth, which I call, you know, like playing defense or playing offense, like interest is the driving force behind all of, you know, wealth building. And it's the easiest way with students as well, because like to get them engaged, because you show them, you know, 6% interest on a, if you're borrowing $700,000 to buy a house, which around LA, like that's common. When they see how much more they actually have to pay, they'll say, wait, I borrow $700,000. And I have to pay back $1.5 million? You know, I'm paying back more in interest. It sort of blows their minds. But then if you could balance the other side, if you show them a compound right. interest calculator and be like, okay, once you get out of debt, and if you just start investing, let's say $400 per month, and you throw in, you know, 10%, like what the, you know, stock market averages, and you show them how quickly they can build wealth, and you say, hey, look, you could put in $120,000, and in 30 years, it'll be worth $520,000. You've made $400,000 doing nothing. Then the students are like, okay, I'm in. Like, this is interesting now.
But that has to be counteracted with the frame of mind that kids these days are in, and that's instant gratification. You know, I'm on my device, not thinking maturely, like the example you just gave, where if you put a little bit of away starting young, you're going to make a lot more
Correct.
Money and you're going to have a better life down the road. How do you get through to kids? And I know you talk about it in your books, mm-hmm. how to get through to kids to encourage discipline, responsibility, and looking to the future?
Great. That's a great question. And I think that's truly at the core. And Michelle, you mentioned there's sort of like a why try with the younger generation, right? There's so many things going on. Why try? And I think the answer to this, there is such a disconnect between how your actions today influence your future. Like, there is such a horrible disconnect there. Like, for example, if I tell somebody, or a lot of financial advice, they'll say, put 15% of your paycheck into your 401k, and in 30 years, you'll have a ton of money. But people don't understand, all right, if I do $300 per month today, what does that actually look like in the future? People don't know what that number is at the end. And you have to connect those two things, or else the success is probably not going to happen. Because when you show somebody, oh, hey, $300 a month, like, that's great. But if you show, okay, you do that for 30 years, let's say that's $700,000. They go, wait, what? Like, that's actually true? You know, I could put in $200,000 but get $700,000 out. So you have to have that goal at the end, because if you only have one side, if you only have, hey, you need to have $1 million for retirement, that doesn't help, because how do I get there?
Right.
But if you just show them $200 a month, that doesn't help either, because they say, well, what will that yield? So you have to be able to understand the relationship between those two things. And it's really like anything else. It's like, if you want to get into shape, it's really hard to be like, okay, you have to do, you know, diet and exercise every day. It's very difficult to see the relationship between your everyday actions and what it's going to yield in the long term. And if there's one variable in personal finance that is the most important, it's time. Right. The longer you're doing something, like when you look back, like now when I look back 10 years, I'm like, I can't believe how my behaviors in the past, those $300 a month are now hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever it might be. Right. So you have to show them both ends. And kids get truly excited. Like my high schoolers, when you show them the compound interest calculator, like, oh my God, like I could be a millionaire for $200 per month. Like, are you kidding me? So they get really excited about it, but you have to show them, if you want that $1 million, $2 million, whatever it is, you have to have actions today. You have to forego some of these, you know, these things that you want so badly. You have to, you know, delay some of this gratification.
I'm just thinking, Jake, I have two children, and when they were born, Everyone was celebrating and saying, oh, congratulations. Guess what I did? I went right to an investment counselor the day they were born and said, I've heard about this thing called a 529.
Yeah.
I want to put money in now when they're born. And he's like, well, you can do that. You know, they're not going to be in college till, you know, 18. I started the day they were born, and shockingly, they're now in sixth and seventh grade. They have enough money in the accounts to finance their college. I don't have to put another penny in for the next 7 or 8 years. And that's because I chose to make the sacrifice to put the money away so that I could be less stressed and they
Correct.
Can be less stressed.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you're thinking about putting your kids through college, and I'm just thinking about how am I going to buy that Prada bag next week and still make sure I'm not in any credit card debt and save up for a house, hopefully. One of the key points that you have in your book that I really appreciate is you saying you don't have to live a miserable life in order to face your financial goals. So not having to cut back on the sweet treat, as we call it, the avocado toast, the iced coffee, or the occasional Prada bag, you know, once a year or something. Can you talk more about not having to live a miserable life to face your financial goals?
Yeah, so typically, and this definitely is a generational thing, I think there are older generations that will say like avocado toast, Starbucks, every day, those are killing you. You kids, like that's why you're broke. They're not helping you. I'll say that. They're not helping. But that's almost never the source of somebody's financial, like any problems they have. Your wealth is typically killed in three categories. And so those three categories are housing. People overpay for housing, which is especially difficult today. I mean, housing is just expensive, period. Transportation. If there's one thing like I just am constantly, you know, on my soapbox about, it's like overspending on cars. Like Americans spend so much on cars. And the third one is food. Like people just spend, they either eat out too much, especially younger people. DoorDash, I'm 37. I've DoorDashed like twice in my life just because when I see those delivery fees, being a finance nerd, I'm like, I cannot Jeez. Pay these fees. But really, so the example I give, so somebody with that mindset might be thinking, I'm going to cut out avocado toast. I'm going to cut out Starbucks. I'm going to cut out, we'll just start with those two. And they think my problems will be fixed, right? I'm doing what they said. I'm not, you know, just right. frivolously spending my money. But if you go down that route, it's probably not going to change anything. I'll be honest with you, right? Because there's only, those things are only going to add up to so much. If instead you think of a much simpler example, instead of a decision every single day, let's talk about the decision to buy a car. Most people, you have, let's say, two choices. You can get a car that costs $800 per month or $300 per month. And so often people will make the more expensive one. But in that scenario, that single decision is going to cost you $500 per month for at least 5 years, right? So that's $6,000. You know, per year, $500 per month, over 5 years, that's a crazy amount of money. And also, if you just buy that $300 car, and you are already committed to spending that $800, right? Because you already considered it, right? So you're willing to spend $800 per month. But if you do the car for $300, now with that extra $500, if you just throw that into your 401k, especially, so Michelle, at your age, if you just made that
right,
single choice,
exactly.
that single choice of not getting that more expensive car, you throw that $500 a month into your 401k or just investing, that will be worth, I'm going to guess, $600,000.
At least.
So you don't have to give up these things. You just have to give up the heavy hitters, right? And you can have, I think the saying is, you can have anything you want. You can't have everything you want. Like, you have to choose what is important to you. And in those three categories, you have to be very smart, because if you are overspending in those categories, it's so difficult to make it up. Like if you're overspending on your car, if you cut out Starbucks, you're not going to make it up. Like, that's so much money every month.
It's such a shift in the way of thinking that the younger generation needs to focus on, because they will be impacted later on. So your new book, Face Your Financial Fears, The Simple Guide to Fixing Your Relationship with Money, which is coming out after the success of How to Adult, just came out in October 7th. And now you have this new book that you've decided that you're kind of taking it to the next step. Explain how your new book, Face Your Financial Fears, is moving on from How to Adult.
Yeah, so Michelle, you actually touched on it. You said, you know, I enjoy the psychological, emotional side. Like, the new book is so much more about the relationship with money. Because after my first book, I meet with people all the time to talk about their budgets, and I talk about some of these anecdotes. So in the new book, I met with my friend. She said, can you help me set up, like, my IRA? I want to invest in my retirement, but the brokerage accounts are scary. Like, it's scary to get on E-Trade or Fidelity and, like, go through these steps. It's your money. Like, this is a scary thing. So we set it all up, and we get on Zoom, and we talk about our weekends. And then I'm like, all right, let's do this. Here we go. And I thought she'd be excited. And then she starts crying. She just starts, breaks down in tears. And this is not, I've had so many people do this because they've been putting off these money concerns. If they're in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and this is not an age thing. This is, you know, this transcends age. Anybody can fall victim to this. But it's so stressful. Money is so stressful. And so meeting with all these people, they're just not enough. I didn't see any book out there that truly understands how scary money is. There's like the divide in this country between the financially literate and the financially illiterate is so vast. It is so vast. So those who typically write these books are part of, you know, the team that knows what they're doing, but they don't have the language to communicate and also understand, like, this is so scary for people. They need this emotional connection. They need some support, and they do not need to be spoken down to. So a lot of it, the book's divided into two parts. The first half is sort of these myths that we have about money, right? So like these misunderstandings that we have and just how brutal debt is against you, like interest rates in general. So the first half is dispelling all these myths. It's really like sort of fixing your relationship with money. Like, we need to, success is closer than you think. And then the second half is actionable steps you need to take. Like, how do you actually create a budget? How does a 401k really work? What is an index fund? When you say invest, like, what do you actually mean? So it really walks you through how to go through these things. So it's really for anybody. And I think this is, you know, this almost describes everybody. I lived for years knowing I had financial problems. I knew it. I knew it, but I just didn't want to address it. It was too scary. And I had this feeling that everybody around me was thriving, right? Everybody knows this stuff. And I'm just some loser, you know, some outlier. And then once I learned everything I could, I realized, oh, nobody knows this stuff.
Exactly.
Like, nobody does.
And when you say that, even grown-ups don't. I'm looking 100%. At one of the reviews. This book is so helpful. Do yourself a huge favor and buy it. Jake explains finance in such an accessible way. I'm 35 years old from the UK, and I wish I had read this sooner, but I'm so happy that I've read it now. Empowering. I'm so grateful this book exists. 35-year-old, mm-hmm. missed out, but not too embarrassed to say I can learn something from
Correct.
The book.
You need that humility.
You don't have to be, you know, 12-year-old like my son Hudson, and I talked to you, Jake, about this, that, you know, he's interested in investing. I want to help him along. He read your book, and now we're setting up a little account for him mm-hmm. to learn about investing, and he's so excited about it. It gives him some focus. It gives him something to look forward to try and make some money.
Correct, yeah. So I think the second book is, so the first one is more for people, it's a proactive approach. Hopefully for younger people who haven't made mistakes yet. This new one's for people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s who know I've got this problem. And I can almost guarantee whatever problems you have in your head. So if Michelle, you said like, maybe I've made some mistakes before. Whatever your situation is, it's not as bad as you think
it is.
Yeah,
the first step to solving a problem is acknowledging that you have one, 100%,
right? 100%.
Yeah. So I like that you explain it too in simple enough terms, because you're right. It seems like this big, mysterious, unknown thing
that people are afraid of.
Exactly. And you really break it down into written word, which is the best way that I learn. I know a lot of people learn that way.
And people should not be embarrassed to buy the book.
That's the huge part of it. Absolutely. Yeah. You should not be embarrassed about this. Like, everybody is in the same boat. Like, you mentioned sort of, I talk about it in my book, like addiction. Like, I had problems with alcohol, and it was the exact same process. I'm like, God, I am a loser. Like, there's something wrong with me. And then I finally admitted it. And once you admit it, oh my God, it got so much. Like, I admit it, and I realize, oh man, I'm not alone. A lot of people
right.
have this exact same problem, and finance is the same. Once I admitted it, I'm like, all right, now I have to address it.
And
I can't hide it anymore.
But people are afraid to talk about money. And this is a starter. So What's the best place? Where's the best place? I mean, I know it's everywhere, Amazon, mm-hmm. but how can people order Face Your Financial Fears, the simple guide to fixing your relationship with money? What's the easiest way?
I mean, the easiest way, it's really up to you. So you can buy it on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble. It's in a lot of stores. You can go to my website. It's htapersonalfinance.com. And so at HTA.
Say that again.
HTApersonalfinance.com. So from that website, you can get either of my books, and it can give you a link to many places that carry the new book as well.
And do you do any personal counseling for people? Is there an email they can get you at? Or
Oh, yeah. I hope you know I'm just sending you my income and my spending every month.
Yeah, so I got your email while yes. we were talking. It's received. Yeah, so on that site, same thing. I do, because I don't ever, you know, I'm not an investor. I don't give you investing advice.
Right.
I don't want to do that. I want to teach you how to do these things. I want to give you the information, again, because it's not as difficult as you think. You are intimidated by it, but it's not as scary as you think. But yeah, I certainly do lessons. I have videos where I break down things like, what's an IRA? What's the difference between Roth and traditional?
Yeah.
What's an index fund? So I have videos for people who like to learn, you know, visually. And all of that, again, at HTA Personal Finance.
Yeah, that's so important, the teaching aspect, because there are so many people out there trying to make a buck off investments and everything. But teach the younger folks how to manage money, and they're going to take off. Jake Cousineau, thank you so much for coming on Gervie's Law. We really appreciate it. It's been a real great experience for Michelle.
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. Thank you for having me. This was a great time. I appreciate it.
All right. See you next week on Gervie's Law.
This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.